Perhaps in Hebrews, remember, book of Hebrews, bringing forth all the benefits, bringing forth Christ and all the benefits that he has made possible because he died on the cross for the believing heart. Christ died on the cross so that we could be created in the first place. He died on the cross and rose again so that not only we could be created, but that we could be created in and for his original purpose, which is to know him. Not only does he want us to know him, he wants us to wonderfully, intimately know him in a wonderful way. The book of Hebrews is helping us to understand that intimacy with God. That's what he meant. It's a wonderful thing. So we did the 12 chapters. And as you came to the end of chapter 12, you'll remember in chapter 12, we're to serve God with reverence and godly fear, verse 28. The reason, our God is a consuming fire. So we're to honor God. Now, having said that, then just think, if you can, of a military going to go out to the battle, and we've given them all the instructions, we've checked the weapons, and then we just rehearse very quickly little things to keep in mind as they're going. Hebrews, God has given us an understanding that we're to exercise and serve him. And in exercising and serving him, we're going out the door, and God says, chapter 13, remember these things. Remember them as you're going out the door. So just refresh our mind. So therefore, chapter 13, as we did it, we did let brotherly love continue, etc. And we did chapter verse 1 and 2, remember them that which are suffering. Remember the battlefield that we're out there as we're going out to the battle. The other people have suffered. The enemy isn't going away. Like we shared on Wednesday, a darkness and death and evil are never gone. When you go to bed, they're there. When you get out of bed, they're there. Never gone. Always there. Even when it seems so peaceful and quiet, they're there. You're in the middle of them. So, then we came to verse 4. Remember marriage, God's institution, family, marriage. That's the way to preserve a given people in a given place, not politically and not socially, but practically. They need to understand marriage, family, the relationship. Exodus chapter 20, the fifth commandment, chapter verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. That's the bridge of, well, I'm here. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? My mother and father, I need to understand, where did I come from? I came from my mother and father. What are they doing bringing forth me? They're fulfilling God's word to replenish, Genesis 1, 28, to replenish the earth. That's what we're doing. So I get to God properly. I can't get to God through evolution. I can't get to God through pantheism. I can only get to God in God's way, by way of God's word. Now, having said that, and we share together in verse 5, and remember now, marriage, it's an easy thing. What's it doing now? Communism, socialism, etc. What do we do? We want to destroy the family unit, the family concept. Destroy it. That's an issue. That's what you're looking at. That's the whole point. How do you destroy it? You get rid of, make marriage all kinds of things. Okay, make humans, they don't know whether they're male or female, and all the other stuff that's going on. You lost the family. You lost our identity. And little kids growing up don't know what I'm supposed to be, because we never had that. When we grew up, a lot of you grew up, you never had to question whether you were a male or female. You never had to question that. There was no such thing as trans anything. There was no such thing. So therefore, we never had a problem. At least we knew who we were. That's what we knew, basically. That's not true today. So, that family, verse 5, let your manner of life be without covetousness, the love of money, and be content, be at peace, be satisfied. Be content with such things as you have. In other words, you only have what you have at the moment. You don't have it in the next moment. What you have now, you have. But give it a little time, and that's gone. Time is gone. What you have, the 50 cents you had for a hamburger, remember that? All of that's gone. 50 cents is gone, and you got to go to the next thing. You're moving down the corridor. Be content. Be satisfied. Don't get caught up in covetousness, having, because that demands our attention, our mind, and our desire. Covetousness, reach out. Take care. Don't do that. Be content. And therefore, as you have, for he has said, why are we going to be content? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never do it. And remember, we share together, there are 5 negatives in that end. God is saying something. No, don't be covetous. Don't. I will never. Why not? Because I will never leave you, forsake you. I'll never do it. Now you got to lock onto that. Hang on, we're going to pick it up in a minute again, Lord willing, maybe, in the process. So don't. You're in the presence of God. God takes care. You just read Hebrews 13, 1 through 13. He's a great high priest, and he's doing wonderful things for us, and he's doing them right now. And I need to take the provision of God's person, God's presence, God's power. I need to take that wonderful exercise, I should say, that relationship, so that God is content. God is in covetousness. Why not? God has no need. He is perfect. And you enjoy God who lacks nothing. Be content with such things as you have. I will never leave thee. Remember, we looked at the word forsake and did all that. And our Lord said in Matthew 27 or whatever, on the cross, when he was bearing our sin, in his own body on the tree, he said, Father, forsake. Why, God, have you forsaken me? That's the same verb. Why have you left me in my perfect humanity, not his deity, his perfect humanity, to bear without God? That's an experience. He had gone. And then he was without God. God said, because I have bore your sin and have been forsaken, so that you can never be forsaken. You can never be. Now, having said that, And keeping that in mind, if I can, and God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in the process, that is a wonderful, wonderful movement in history, in biblical history. God, have you? That's your words of encouragement, even before the cross. Go with me over to Deuteronomy just to exercise that part of it. Deuteronomy and chapter 31. And how did God encourage the people? In chapter 31, picking up, please. All we're doing is saying what he said in verse 13, I'll never forsake thee, is what he said even before he went to the cross. He had made a commitment. Chapter 31. Chapter 31, sliding down to verse 6. Be strict to Joshua and Moses and the people. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Not be afraid. Don't be afraid. For the Lord thy God is with thee. With thee and God. He it is that goeth with thee. And he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's what Moses, Joshua, and the people were to know. God would not. So when Israel and them got in trouble, it was because they forgot. They forgot God. Over to right next door, you aren't far away now, Joshua chapter 1. Then in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua, are you going to go? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I just won't do it. A commitment. God's wonderful, wonderful command. Here comes David and Solomon over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If I can. 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 19, this is David and Solomon on the temple. They're going to build the temple. Verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of the pattern. In other words, that's how David built the tent, had all the ends. David was the architect's penman. And David, God, the architect, gave the wonderful dimensions, colors, and everything of the temple. And David got them all. And David gave that blueprint to the builder, that Solomon, to build it just like the pattern. Verse 20. And David said to Solomon and his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I'm not going to quit. So God, can we depend on you? Absolutely. Absolutely, God. And what you know, you don't have to turn there in John 14 and that, verse 18 and that. The Lord Jesus said, and I will not leave you fatherless. I'm going to go. I'm going to go after the cross. But I will not leave you without the Father. What are we going to do? God, we're never going to be without that family relationship to God. Never going to be without it. That's what he said. I'm not going to do it. Now, having said that little bit, And keeping that in mind, and God is never going to quit. And if you like, I am the bread of life, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over in chapter 13 and verse 6 of Hebrews. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we may boldly say, present tense, boldly, confident, courageous, full of hope, cheerful. I'm not going to have full of it, confident, wonderfully confident. Therefore, we're going to be, verse, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And just to catch that word you're looking at boldly, slide over if I can to 2 Corinthians and look at it in the light of your present state on planet Earth. Confident, courageous. And here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me get there myself. 2 Corinthians 5, and picking up in verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, there's your word, boldly, confident, courageous, full of hope. We are confident always, knowing what? That while we are at home in this body, we're in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Sliding down verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, there's your word again, bold, and I say, and willingly, rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So God, we're very, very, very courageous, confident, bold, cheerful, hopeful, here in this body, being content in whatever state we're in, knowing in this body I'm content, you're there, you're not going to fail, nor forsake, I'm to be full of boldness, you're my helper. And so here, so whether I'm here or there, doesn't make any difference. God, you never change. My relationship doesn't change. Everything stays wonderfully there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So therefore, having said that and thinking of that in mind, if you can, and that's from Psalm 118 and all of that, and in the process, the Lord is my helper to come to the aid, to come to the rescue, to succor, back over to Hebrews, and you'll see it. In chapter 2, Hebrews in chapter 2. And you will note, in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 18. 4, 2 and 18. 4, in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, put to the test, put on trial, put to the proof. He is able to succor, that's the word help, to come to the aid of them that are tempted in trouble, because he went through it and went through it. Just think of John 16:33. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome it. I went through so that I can take you through. I'm going through. Remember, we had the poem, a wonderful poem, long poem, of the traveler. And when the dear believing heart was going forward, and someone asked why he was building these little bridges behind him, little markers behind him. And then someone said, why come you do that? I'm doing that for people that are going to follow me so they can follow. Hang on to that one. We're a little ahead of the game. Wonderful. to follow down the road. I want to leave a path so you can follow me. Now, having said that, sucker, and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, and in verse 16, you'll pick it up again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy, receive mercy, and find grace. What for? To help in the time of need, to come to our aid. That's why we come, God. Pray without ceasing. What are we doing? We're looking for God's grace to get us down the corridor of time, and he is our helper. And we boldly say, Hebrews 13, we boldly say, and the Lord is my helper. That's why. Now, having said that, and if you like, to exercise that helper a little bit and drive it home, to drive the nail home, so that, therefore, over to Deuteronomy, back there, back to Israel, forsake. Now we know I did that. God, everything God is telling us, he gave to Israel in some form or fashion, but they didn't believe it and enjoy it, most of them. Therefore, if I can, Deuteronomy, and in chapter 31. And Deuteronomy 31, picking up, please, in verse 8. 31:8. And the Lord, 31:8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And fear not, nor be dismayed. Now we did that, keeping that in mind in verse 6. Here it is in verse 8. Now, having said that, Joshua, right next door again, in the beginning, Joshua, like in Israel, before they crossed the Jordan, here in Joshua, in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. And why do we keep reading, be strong and of good courage? Because you need to be strong and of good courage. You can't be weak and cowardly, because it'll never happen. You've got to be encouraged, that the encourager, Spirit of God, and God himself is telling you, don't be afraid, don't get cowardly, don't back down, be strong and have good courage. Otherwise, you'll get caught up in everything around you and you'll lose. The minute you start looking at the enemy, you start looking at problems, you start looking at the world, you start looking at yourself in the mirror, you hear the medical report, whatever it is, you're going to lose it. I want to lose it. God, no matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter where, God, you're able, wonderfully, wonderfully able. Be strong and of good courage. Therefore, as we've done that, and keeping that in mind, in verse 9, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So therefore, there's no need to fret and no need to worry. Just keep going forward in a most wonderful way. And then that, which Steve had us exercise a while back, Isaiah 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And you'll pick up in thought that wonderful statement among statements. And 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not. I keep reading, don't be afraid. Fear thou not, but why not? For I am with thee. Since I am with thee, what are you afraid of? What on earth are you afraid of? if I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Why not? For I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm right there. Now, what on earth are you afraid of? In the light of God, there's nothing. Storm, famine, disease, an army of a million coming after me. But then there's God. And all that, think of what we did last time as such, time and calendar, everything is all taking place at once. You and I are living in this little moment right here. And there's people in Washington that are living their moment. And people in Europe and people in Israel and all the nations and all the religions and all the social stuff going on with all kinds of maneuvers and everything taking place right now. And here we are. True. But we're right in the middle of all of this. And all that is taking place around us influences us. We don't know it because we're sitting here. And we can sit here and... But it's all taking place. And whether we like it or not, it's all happening and changing around us. Now, it's going to affect us. It will seem like we can go to eat the same, go to the same grocery store and live another week and whatever it is, and do it. But it isn't. It's all changing. Now, having said that, Isaiah, God, all of this is taking place, but I am with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Now, having said that, and one other thought, Psalm 46, wonderful psalm. And in Psalm 46, wonderful psalm, picking up, if I may, in verse 1, God is a refuge and strength, a very present, right now. God is a very present help in trouble. Just what it is. And that psalm, wonderful psalm that you go all the way. And you know about reading. It's a wonderful psalm to read, be encouraged. Verse 11, the Lord is a Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God, that's why are we going back into Deuteronomy? Because what God that's dealing with Israel is the same God that's dealing with us right now. Same God. No difference. No. Everything that you're reading and all of the events that it happens are all real to God right now. And we're in his presence. And all of that that you read is God. You say you read it, but you're in the presence of God who said it and did it and was there. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now, so God, I need to know that. So when I'm reading the Bible, it isn't something 1,000 years ago, because sometimes it is 1,000 years ago. But it doesn't make any difference. God, that's why we're going to pick it up. Hang on. Now, if I can. And so if God be for us, Romans 8, who can be against us? Back over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 13. And Hebrews in chapter 13, picking up, if I may, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, with confidence, with courage, being cheerful, hopeful, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, coming to my aid. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear it in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to trust God. And think of Daniel 3, and Meshach and Abednego, etc. Shadrach, Abednego. What do they do? They said, doesn't matter what you do, Nebuchadnezzar. Doesn't matter what you do. God isn't going to be different. And God told us that we're looking at the idol, we're looking at all the people bowed down, and we're looking at the fiery furnace. But God, all of that is real. But Nebuchadnezzar, your dumb idol is not God. You need to look to God, Nebuchadnezzar. And God ultimately got Nebuchadnezzar to look to God. But it cost the three friends of Daniel a fiery furnace, cost Daniel the lion's den, etc., etc. They go down. And so therefore, picking over if I can, adding to that, that would help us drifting a bit, but not too much. God, I want to know you're the helper, and I'm not to be afraid of man. And remember we shared the other day, to remind us, Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. Go back there for a moment. Keep your Bible alive. Isaiah chapter 51. And you will note, in Isaiah chapter 51, up in verse 12, I am he. This is 51:12 Isaiah. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. I'm comforting you, encouraging you. Who art thou? Who art thou that thou should be afraid of man, of a man? What shall he do? Of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass. All the humans are nothing, and you want to be afraid of them. Verse 13, forgettest the Lord, thy maker, that hath stretched out forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. In other words, God is very much on top of it, as if he were ready to destroy. In other words, here we are looking, and us humans are looking, as look like we're going to get clipped by the enemy, by darkness, by death, by disease. It looks like we're going to get it. Verse 13. Because the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? In other words, we worry, we shared it before, we worry and are afraid of many things that don't even exist. They aren't going to touch you. You're afraid this is going to happen, but it isn't there. Until you see Goliath, don't worry about it. Until you see Goliath. You can project and try to plan, you know. Make sure you run around the block 25 times so you don't die. And do that. Do all that. So you can do all that. But don't. It's just us humans. And us humans are just humans. God, don't. I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. So therefore, relax. The Lord is our helper. Be bold. Be cheerful. Don't be content with such things as you have. It isn't a problem. It's no problem for God. And if you want something to do when you're laying down thinking about not too much, think about God. Give God a problem he can't solve. How's that? Sit down and think of something God can't solve. That's a problem to God. Find something that's a problem to God. How's that? Well, now, Having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and on our way back, New Testament, over to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 10, on our way back. And in chapter 10, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 28. And fear not them, which we just think of Isaiah 51. And fear not them, verse 28, chapter 10. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. That's the point. They can't do only so much. The most they can do is kill you. But they can't kill you. They can't kill you if they don't want you dead. And besides, the body, that's all they could do. They can't touch your relationship to as God would say. You have if you're a believer, they have a very special relationship to God, and they just need to understand that relationship is called eternal life. The relationship never ends. There's not 1 second in the clock going by. There's not one thing in all day today that you lose that. All day long, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it is, if you're saved, you never lose 1 second. It never interferes with 1 second of your life. God is your life, period, for real. That's why he said to Martha, "Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" Verse 25. If you do, you know that you never can die. That's what you know. Well, I don't know. Then you need to understand it. When you have a relationship to me, you can't die. Only physically. Can't happen. Oh, wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and verse 29, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? The birds, that's why we're being encouraged. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. That ought to be an encouragement. And who cares about how many hairs you have in your head? God said, I happen to count them. I know them. I know them. I know every hair that's falling out of your head. Wow. And therefore, is that intimate? Yes. Is that personal? Yes. Verse 31, fear ye not therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. That's why. God said, be encouraged. Be encouraged. This is no reason. Your encouragement is because you're looking to God and understanding what he has done and what he is doing in a most wonderful way. Therefore, turning in your Bible, on your way over to John. And chapter 16, just the very beginning, not taking time in it. John 16, verse 1. These, remember, here's chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. 16:1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They're going to go and kill you. They're going to think they're doing God a favor, etc. And then you go to Revelation 13. You don't have to go there. What is God going to do in the tribulation? He's going to let the believers be sheep for the slaughter. And the Antichrist is going to get them. But don't worry, because you can't. Why? Because all they can do is kill your body. But our body's so precious. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You think it is. I think of Hudson Taylor and all those different people in history and all kinds of thousands of people. And God puts them down, puts them down. Now, God, I can't do a thing. I can't do a thing. Anyway, all getting older. in the process. But God, it isn't up to me to do. It's up to you to do. I don't need to do anything, and God will put us down, and we lay there, we want to do so much for God. But then God puts us down, and we lay there looking to God, and God does it without our help. He didn't get your help. No. He just wanted you to trust him. God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you to do what he does. He needs us to trust him. And that's why God puts us down so it doesn't look like we're so strong. And I think of that in my own little life nowadays. I used to be whatever. And man, wow. Do you know, I've so shrunk down that I wouldn't trust myself walking down that aisle. God, I make mistakes a thousand ways, and I'm very, very weak. How weak can you get? Doesn't matter. The strength isn't the issue. It's the relationship that's the issue to get us through. Do you understand? That's what gets us through. It's not me, God. It never was. It's always you. Always you. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you can, back over to chapter 13. Hebrews and 13. Now, chapter 13, the next section. Remember, he's exhorting them. They're going out the door to battle, and he's reminding them of little bits and pieces that help them. And it helps them. Don't lose the family. Don't lose the relationships. God's institution for family, marriage, etc. Don't lose that. Don't lose your relationship to the church, the believers. Love the brethren. And make sure that you're proceeding and don't be in covetousness, caught up with everything, trying to catch and be and have everything. Do the best you can, trust God, and go through the corridor, always trusting God, who's always your helper and always has, take care of you. So just go. Now, chapter 7. Chapter 7. I did say chapter 7. You have to correct things, you know. I hope you know that in the process. You just correct. You know, that's your job. You're the computer. And I punch in whatever. And who cares? I don't have to think anymore because the computer thinks and spells and says. So I tuck it in, and your job is to fix it. That's your job. Okay. Now, chapter 13. Verse 7, remember them, remember, it's present tense, command, be mindful, think, be remembering, recall. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, remembering them. Now, that's a wonderful, wonderful section, and it needs to be understood. I think of all the different things in this little section. This is one of them that you need to understand, and why the church is down the tubes, why the whole thing is cuckoo. So therefore, we've got 5 minutes. Well, at least start it. I need to get you to see it. It's a problem. Now, remember them which have rule over you. Now, keeping that in mind, if I can, have the rule. Now, having said that, recall that. In Acts chapter 20, verse Acts chapter 20. And remember, Paul is leaving Ephesus. He's not going to be able to go back to them again to help them, the church in Ephesus, etc. Now, I think it's Ephesus. And he's going to go to Jerusalem. Verse 31. Therefore, he's going to go. I'll read verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and they're not sparing the flock. As long as Jesus was there, he took the blunt, the enemy, the devil, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, all after him. Not after Peter, not after Luke, no, just him. When he steps aside, then he's going to have his church, Acts 1:8, they become the victim, they become him. And thus the church becomes persecuted. Because why? They represent him. That's what they do. And in the process, here's Paul. Paul is the source of helping the church in Ephesus, etc., Jerusalem, to grow and to know. He's an apostle. He's delivering the message of God, God's message. Now, so when you come, Nero's going to take his life. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn you, everyone, night and day, with tears. Warn them. Why? I tried to help you stay and learn to be strong and of good courage, not to be afraid, to understand the world around us, us humans apart from God's grace are your enemy. Your own nature is your enemy. You need to understand you're never free of it, of the environment or anything. So you need to keep trusting God. You aren't helping God be God. You're trusting God to be God. That's what you're doing. So therefore, here's the Paul. Paul says, listen, and they're going to come in and come in after you. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I'm going to commit you to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way to do and to be all that he's supposed to be. Now, having said that, which have the rule over you. And the word rule, R-U-L-E, present tense, has to do with what? To lead the way, to go first. They have to go first, always first. Our Lord is first. The apostles are first. Apostle Paul is first. They're first. They're going to get clipped. That's the way it is. Here comes the enemy attacking. They're all attacking. Here they come. Use the Indians. Here come the Indians attacking with everything. I've got to stop them. Here comes the military. What am I going to do? I'm going to shoot one. I'm not going to shoot anybody. I'm going to as carefully as I can with the bullets I have. Because I couldn't possibly. I'm going to shoot the chief. I'm going to shoot the general. I'm going to shoot the guy that's leading them. If I take away the leader, that handicaps them to take away the leader. That's what I'm going to do. Now, so if I have to go to war, you know who I'm going to shoot. That's what I'm going to do. Go. And that's the way you want to stop. The leader. The devils all use the leadership. Leadership to rule, to lead, to go forward. A new leader, ruler. That's what we need to do. Now, God, I got to quit. Well, now, So therefore, I'll leave you with it. Here we are, God, we need to, it said, verse 13, which have the rule over you, we're to go and follow them. We're to follow them. How are we to follow them? Wonderful, wonderful, you need to understand it. It's wonderfully simple and marvelous. Don't let it louse you up. Well, he's the leader. Who's he supposed to be, see? I don't want him telling me what to do, see? And you need to get that comfortably in your head so you can handle it. Anyway, I got to quit. Thank you for that.